afternoon. It's Tuesday, February 2nd, 2022, almost 2 o'clock.
February 22nd.
20, what did I say? February? Oh, February 22nd. Excuse me. Two.
Yeah. Lord, we ask for your blessing in our time together. That we, that your spirit would be here, that it would flow, that we would have your word enlightened by your spirit, Lord. Do that good work by your spirit.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Yeah, we see a lot of scriptures. I mean, the Bible says, you know, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And that's a hard one, because every word doesn't mean every word to everybody.
Say what?
And sometimes every word is every word they want to hear.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, amen.
And I think that a turning point in my life was when I heard the voice that morning. And I can't say that I was in a right position to hear it, but when I heard it, it did something to me. And, you know, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And of course, immediately I thought, we have been looking for the, you know, the doctrines of the churches. We've been looking for the opinions of the, you know, the Don Burnett's or the people of that nature. I thought, you know what? I saw too many weaknesses in Don Burnett, too many weak spots. And for me to just believe everything that he taught, I can't do it. You know what I mean? I appreciate everybody what he taught and the things that he really helped a lot of things. But you know what? Nobody is capable of bringing everything truthfully to everybody. It's not that. And neither can we. You know, we'll never be able to. Only the Holy Spirit is able to produce truth. And we have to be open to the Holy Spirit and open to receive what He brings us. And I think that we have gone a long ways on the revelation of the humanity of Christ. But it doesn't mean that we still got the total picture. It's too big of a picture. Paul says that I might know him. And it's like, what do you mean? Paul is, he's the one that's teaching us. You know what I mean? What do you mean that I might know him? And the fellowship of his, or the power of his resurrection? I didn't get on that boat. And, you know, and the fellowship of his suffering and be made conformable to his death. I don't know that I really understand any one of the three.
Or the importance of them.
No, yeah. I really want to. And I appreciate what he had to say, but I... some of these things get too difficult, you know. The power of his, you know, it says that as the Father had life in him, has life in himself, so he gave the Son to have life in himself. What does that mean? I mean, that's in a category that there's no way you can understand it. God is all powerful in all things. Did he they give the Son authority and power and stuff in areas that are godly, that are godlike, that he didn't give to men, other men? And I'm saying, I think he did. Especially we see, what is it, the 50th chapter, 1 Corinthians? Where it starts, you know, with we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and stuff. And then all of a sudden we get to something else. Then come to the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. What's that mean? For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You know what? As much as I've understood all these things, I don't have a clue here. It gets past our any logic we got, you know what I mean? When he says that all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And see, that's it's like now we're getting to the nitty gritty. God wasn't put under him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it says that.
Yeah.
It is evident that he put all things under him. No.
That he is accepted.
Yes, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted.
Yeah. And so... And so then when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him to put all things under him,
mm-hmm.
that God may be all in all. It gets real tricky. You know, you got to be really, really careful how you're thinking here.
Luckily, I don't lean on my own understanding when I take in the word.
Well, it's good that it's good you have that mm-hmm. in you.
You know what? Sometimes I try to read the Bible, and if the Spirit isn't moving in me, it's like it's literally written in like Chinese or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's like, oh, I don't think I'm supposed to. I gotta go do something else right now, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forgot how to read.
Well, it reads that way a lot, so you get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the reason there are so many people that don't go into the Word is they find it confusing and contradictory, and they just kind of go, well, that doesn't make sense. Shuck it, you know. And that's...
It's not for them, apparently, maybe, Corky.
Yeah.
You know? It's not promised to everyone.
Could be.
Or at least not now.
Yeah, maybe exactly. Maybe. Everyone has their own journey. I've really been reflecting about that a lot because you kind of want to push, you know, when you have something good, you kind of want to get everybody else getting the good too. And that has conflicting outcomes, you know, mm-hmm. and conflicting mm-hmm. responses, and not everybody responds to things the same way. And a lot of times, like, I'll be fellowshipping with one of my friends or something, and Brittany is, like, trying to get me to, like, to go about it a different way that I know specifically is just going to turn them off, you know? I don't know. It's hard, but you got to be patient with people and understand that, like, I was that at one point in time, and it really wouldn't have mattered because I had to do this. This is what I had to go through, you know?
I don't know. Maybe this is excuse talking, but I think it can be very reassuring to people to know that you are a Christian, and yet you are in a kind of mundane fellowship with them, you know? You're not going to be judging them in any kind of Christian harsh way or whatever. There's
right, I try to stay away from that. You know.
Yeah. You know, I think, ah, you know, that could just be such a relief. Now, again, I don't know, you know, there's compromise in that road. You don't want to.
I've shared the testimony before, but I have had conversations with my siblings who know that from their perspective the inordinate amount of time that I spend either reading the Bible or talking about God or going to services or doing, you know, yada yada, and they, like, you would think if God is God, he'd be okay with 5-6 minutes a year, you know, he's God. He can survive on that, you know. And we have taken the approach of, if they come, answer questions, you know, show by examples and make it comfortable to have that conversation without bringing the condemning side of things. And it has wooed them, you know, the old honey versus vinegar approach. And so, I don't know. I mean, Charlie is exactly right. There is a... You could look at that and go, yeah, I'm avoiding the tough conversation because I'm trying not to be too pushy. When, you know, but hopefully then God would let you know. I mean, if you were sitting back and being a little too comfortable, hopefully he would let us know. I mean, that's kind of my prayer. If there's an opportunity and I'm supposed to do something, I'll get a little bit of leading in the Spirit to be bolder. But anyways, I don't. Your approach is not necessarily wrong, even though other Christians might not see it that way.
I got to fellowship with one of my friends the other day. I haven't seen him in a long time, and really, we just haven't talked very much the past couple of years or so. He started dating this Courtney girl, and I think it just made sense that she'd just never meet me, because I've been, like, his best friend since we were 7. And been through a lot of good times and bad times together, so I figured he was just trying to save face. But the other day, they got into it. I don't know. My one friend came and stopped by, and he's like, yeah, Alex is in jail right now. And I was like, oh, what the heck? You know, and he's like, well, allegedly, like, he beat up Courtney or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, like, told me this long story about how Courtney called him and said that, like, Alex flipped out and... But she, like, admitted to saying a bunch of stuff to him. And my friend Alex, me and him have had very similar upbringings, and we're the same age, and we grew up in the same place, and our families are very similar. And I don't know, he just doesn't deal with some things. Some things trigger him, you know.
He was triggered, yeah.
And to the point, and he's the type of guy to where, like, it literally does not matter who you are if you say something certain to him. Like, if you insult his family or something, it doesn't matter if you're grandpa, he's going to punch you in the face, you know? And, like, and that goes the same for his girlfriend. And his ex-girlfriend, but, like, he ended up getting out of jail, and I snapped him the other day when I was on my way to the store. I messaged him, and I'm like, hey, if you're out of jail, like, I'm on my way to the store right now. He lives behind Target. I'm like, I got to go do some shopping. I can swing by, and you can just... come with or whatever. And he messaged me back after I already started shopping. I went and picked him up, talked to him for a while, and took him with me, and got to just kind of be like a good example, you know,
mm-hmm.
and talk to him a little bit about his situation. And then, like, before I dropped him off when we were in the parking lot, like, coming back to the house, I, like, we haven't really talked since I've accepted the Lord in my heart, really. And, like, I went over there one time for, like, 5 minutes to say hi once, but that was it. And I gave him, like, my full testimony and shared all kinds of stuff that I have experienced and, like, my deliverance and stuff, and that really, like, blew him back. And I know that he knows me so well that he knows that I'm not BSing. If I say it, it's legit. I'm not going to sit here and, like, try to pull his leg. So he was like, I don't know. He took it in. I could tell he took it in, and he had some questions, and I answered them, and I could feel it resonated.
Yeah.
And I was like, you could have the same thing that I'm telling you about. I'm like, you don't have to do drugs to be elevated. I'm like, the Lord literally wants you, and the devil has been messing up your life this whole time. And I'm like, you need to, like, give up all of your stuff and just give your heart to the Lord, and I guarantee you will be set free. And I know that he heard that, and that should do some work. It's actually Cole's cousin. That's with Chelsea.
No.
Cole's cousins are the Solis from Stanley. So I grew up with all of them, so I've known Cole since we were little kids, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was pretty nice. It was nice to, like, have one of my oldest and most mentally unstable friends hear my testimony and receive it well, you know?
And you know, at some point he will. They just will.
If it can happen to me, it can happen to him.
Yeah, you look at him and you think about it and you think, oh, that's, I know that I said what I should say, but he'll never get it. But you know he will. And all of a sudden, it'll make sense and something will happen to him and he'll remember what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that from experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that...
Well, and invert that. How many times has it happened to you when someone made a comment and it didn't quite register, but later on,
yeah,
God got back to that and dropped it in a little bit, and all of a sudden you go, oh, I get it.
Yeah, I, when I first, you know, praying over here and heard the voice that came out of the television set, and it wasn't turned on, but it came out of it. And it said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And it had such a impact on me, you know. Because, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Well, that was one of the things that really made sense. You know, I have to... not take these things based on what somebody else told me it means or whatever, but I have to let the Holy Spirit give me the meaning of these things. You know, I mean, I have to, whatever. And Joanne and I went out to Seattle. How many trips? I went out sometime, you know, a couple times a year. And Shelley set me up with some meetings. We had some meetings in a library, and I don't remember. I remember she told me about it just not too long ago. But we have 60 or 70 people. I mean, I knew these people, and they knew me, and I'd have them in one of those meetings. One of the Bible college teachers got up, and he was all, you know, and just really had a good testimony. But he says that he started to do, it made sense to him, and he started to just listen to the scriptures. And he said the next thing he knew, he took all of his Bible college notes and he flung them. He got rid of all of them. I don't know what he's done since, but that was a good place to start, you know. because so much of it is just common sense, and it's a common sense is not a scriptural sense.
No.
But Don Burnett had a lot of common sense. Very intelligent person. Every time you see a 747 flyover, parts of that plane he invented or whatever. He worked at Boeing for many years.
Engineered.
You know, intelligent. They liked him. Others liked him because they didn't have to pay for the invention. Because he worked there, you know. But, so he had logic. And we all heard it. A lot of logic. And a lot of it made sense. But just because it makes sense doesn't mean it makes God sense.
Amen. Mm-hmm. In fact, I offer that it really hindered our growth in God.
It did.
Because we kept trying to make it make sense like that to the natural mind.
And yeah.
You don't come before God as a little child if you're figuring it all out.
As for me, I feel I owe quite a bit to Don Burnett, both positive and negative. You know, I think there was a foundation that he provided during hundreds of hours of his tape. And yet, he showed his weaknesses, too, in those tapes. And that was good to see, too.
Larry, you can come up.
The way you can feel, the temptation of power. I think that came through.
Claire, you can come up.
The kind of confidence or whatever. But relying on your own
growth,
your own thinking it through provides. You know, it was... I don't know, for me it was good. Like I say, both positive and negative. And the way that power corrupts. You know, I saw it. It was there.
And then we see it, whatever failure somebody has, it's always the worst that's ever existed in the world. You know what I mean? And we see David and Solomon and some of these guys. Or Solomon had, 100 wives?
No, I think he had more than that.
Well, anyway, however, he had a lot of
them. Gotten into the four figures.
Wow. He must have been a smooth talker, boy. And had a lot of patience.
A lot of something. Mm-hmm.
Brightest man ever. According to God.
Yeah, and David, somehow he, what was her name? Michael? Saul's daughter? And how did he happen to have her? I can remember, but I can't.
Somehow or other. It was probably political. You know, it was... They were married before David became king, and so it was some arrangement of convenience with Saul's family and David, whatever.
Yeah, it was probably political.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was because Saul was always jealous of David, that he thought, well, I'll get my daughter in the house and I'll know a little bit what's going on.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Boy, now, I tell you, that's pretty ironic. I looked and it showed that spot coming in at 2 o'clock and look at it. It just got heavier. Sometimes they're pretty close.
King James, 1 Samuel 14, 50, Saul's wife was Ahinoam, Ahinoam.
What about David's wife?
Want to know David's wife?
Well, one of them was Saul's daughter, which is Michal. And I remember the song, and it says, and Michal through the window looked to criticize its start. She didn't know that David had got a dancing heart. Remember that?
What scripture was that?
No, it's not a scripture. That was a song that we sang.
I heard you say so.
Yeah.
David's first wife was Michal.
That was his first wife, huh?
When it says, I'm just kind of, that's what the internet says.
I have to read in the books there for a while to find out the situation that developed that he married her.
So I'm going to just leap to the. So why do we want to know this?
But we don't. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But David had quite a few wives too.
Oh, yes, he did. Most of the kings had quite a few wives, though, didn't they? Just in general.
Yeah.
Being king kind of entitled them to
concubines.
Yeah, concubines / wives. And
well, it was a good way of having peaceful relations with another country. He was married to one of the daughters of that king. You know, it was a kind of a peace treaty or something. Something like that was going on.
I'm sure there was.
I don't think King Ahab had any more than one.
Maybe Jezebel would have put a stop to that, huh?
Yeah. So. Jezebel would have killed her.
It might be. It says that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. So his heart turned toward other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord. Wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Did not continue to follow the Lord as did David his father. Built high places. Solomon. He did so all for his outlandish wives, says here. Burnt incense and offered them unto their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon. This is 1 Kings,
yeah, that's right.
Chapter 11 here.
He compromised his beliefs for the sake of his wives.
Right.
What guy's ever done that?
Solomon Saul.
It's right there in the Bible. Not a good plan, but yeah.
Seriously.
A lesson in that.
Yeah. I think the whole Adam and Eve thing, just case closed. Case closed.
Sets the precedent, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The upshot of it was that he had two divided the kingdom. That was the Lord's punishment for what? Solomon and
God. Was that because Israel and Judah, or what?
Yeah, Israel and Judah. Yep. The Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom.
Huh.
Well, you know, there's always some sticklers that's just going to believe every word of the Bible and have a lot of flexibility, you know.
Have you guys ever been over to Israel or anything?
I have been in Israel.
You have? What was it like?
The parts that I was in Israel were and had nothing to do with scriptures.
Okay.
Or even the Navy.
I was. We made a protocol there. Walked around. I was standing at a bus stop that got blown up 4 days later.
Mm.
And it was right where somebody decided, a terrorist decided to light something off. The one thing I learned about Israel that has stuck with me is that everybody in Israel, man or woman, puts time in the military service. Women are required to put in 2 years, and they're, once they hit 18, and men are required to put in 3 years minimum, which is how that little country maintains the size of the army that they do.
Right.
It's just like
you have to do it.
It's after high school, this is what you're going to do, and everybody does it. And so, and it's hot, and it's dusty. There's nary a green anywhere.
So they might have gotten a little greener since your day. You know, they've done desalinization, and I think their irrigation system is pretty extensive.
What year about were you there?
76, 77.
When?
1976, 1977.
So it would have been after the war in 1973.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the most interesting things I did was I was part of the evacuation after they blew up the Marine barracks, because it was the only time in our history that we did a sea retrieval, where they sent in the LSTs with the launch boats, and everybody came out because the way all the country was landlocked in Lebanon there, it was going to be trouble, so they just came right up to the thing. Ambassador came out that way.
They became a nation when in 67?
I thought it was a war in 67.
48. They had a war in 67, and then they expanded their borders. They won that war very decisively. But it was a nation in 1948.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of the way they kind of cut and divided after World War II. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't go to any of the Wailing Wall or anything like that. No, my mother has.
Yeah.
And in spite of all of that, it still has some concepts we might want to try and tweak.
Right.
Was it Tel Aviv that you went to, or?
I think so. It was a camp, but can't remember if it's not right on the coast. I mean, because that's what, I didn't go inland anywhere. I just went right to the port, and it was a bigger city, and so that fits. But yeah, I wasn't retracing any steps when I was there.
Not that you know of.
Well, there may have been some unintentional stuff, but it was nothing with a clear purpose in mind. Really wasn't, I don't recall being there that many days, so it wasn't that, I think I was only on the land one day.
Maybe you'll get to heaven and find out, Judas walked here.
Could have, I don't know. I usually don't talk about the Mediterranean Sea when they're talking about waters, usually.
I guess that's right, isn't it?
But on the other hand, there's not a lot of great bodies of water anywhere else, so I don't know. It's kind of dry over there, so I'm sure.
I think most of it was the Sea of Galilee.
So.
Were you around that?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I could double check, but I don't think so. There was nothing spiritual about my time in Israel, I'll tell you that.
Well, you weren't spiritual at the time yourself, so.
Not too much.
I mean,
not too much.
Not to what? Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
I'd like to think I've grown from that. Not to say that I am.
But that's not a whole lot. I was just thinking, there's only 7 years in there before you were here.
Yep. Well, 77 to 84, yeah. Well, I got out, moved over in the area, and was...
Must have got married quite quick.
I got married in 78 the first time, and then got married again in 79.
Oh, you had another marriage before?
We had a Justice of Peace marriage in Virginia when I was still in service.
Oh.
And then we came back and...
You and Susan.
So yeah. There was some contention about the firstborn being married without a church wedding and the baby of the family being married without a church wedding. So, and we just did it. And no one was satisfied with that. So then we had a church wedding 10 months later, whichever we came to. Which has served us quite well because it's a 2.5-year process for me to divorce Susan if I wanted to. Because I have to go through Wisconsin and wait, and then I have to go through the Commonwealth of Virginia, and there's a waiting period. And I turned to her and I said, no matter what I do, you can't stay mad at me for 30 months. And she's kind of said, yeah, that's probably true. But I do have two certificates of marriage from two different, one state, one a Commonwealth. Odd Seabird trivia. But yeah, I kind of forgot about that. I know many people have gone, I also said, wait a minute. I was there briefly. I mean, oftentimes we'll be watching a movie and they'll do a port city and I'm looking at this and I go, I've been there. I know I've been at that particular place. So. And find out where they were in the movie and go, yeah, I've been there.
I drove around the bay where they filmed, what's that, with, was it Elizabeth Taylor and her not? Over in the Philippines? What's that called? The area called?
Is it called Subic Bay?
No, that's in the Philippines.
You just said Philippines.
No, I thought I said, well, maybe I did. I thought I said, I meant the Port of Vallarta area.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's,
something, geez, it's a major movie. Anyway, yeah. But,
part of Mexico, isn't it?
No, it's Puerto Vallarta, which is kind of in the upper middle coast there, kind of.
Of Mexico.
Of Mexico.
Yeah.
That's Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we went on vacation for 10 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You went there for vacation for 10 years? Or you went there one time?
One time a year.
A year
ten
for
years.
10 years. Okay.
Yeah. Because of my brother and sister-in-law's
generosity.
Yeah. Because they usually paid for all the rooming and food, pretty much. We just paid for the trip and added to the food and stuff. But they always picked up the accommodations. And the spa. And the a lot of good stuff. It was a good time.
Yeah. I can imagine. If I go one state over, it's like the time of my life. You know? Like, ooh.
We probably should shut that thing off. Huh?
We can. We've run out of spiritual things today. We love you all.
We may have really